3. Archbishop's Palace, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Carus. Archbishop Michael Stainer listened to the soft hum of the cat lizard in his lap as he stroked the short, silky white plush of its fur. The cat lizard lay on his back with all 6 feet in the air, and his golden eyes were half-slitted in shameless bliss as the archbishop's long fingers caressed his belly fur.
"Like that, do you, Arden?" Stainer chuckled.
The cat lizard didn't deign to acknowledge his remark. Cat lizards, after all, as every cat lizard obviously knew, were the true masters of creation. Human beings existed for the sole purposes of feeding them, opening doors for them, and, above all else, petting them. At this particular moment, the world was in its proper place, so far as Arden was concerned. The archbishop smiled at the thought. He'd been Arden's pet, and there was no point thinking of the relationship in any other terms, for almost 10 years now, since shortly after his wife's death. At the time he'd acquired Arden, he'd thought the cat lizard was female. Even cat lizards found it difficult to tell males from females until they were a couple of years old, and he'd named his new pet after his wife. By the time he'd realized his mistake, Arden had settled into his name and would undoubtedly have refused, with all the monumental stubbornness of his breed, to answer to anything else. Fortunately, Arden Stainer had been a woman of rare humor, and Stainer had no doubt she was amused by the mix-up. Certainly her daughter, who now shared her name with the cat lizard, was. The furry Arden had been her gift to her lonely father. She, too, had assumed he was female, and she knew enough of cat lizards to refuse to waste time trying to change this one's mind. So did Stainer's son-in-law, Sir Larenc Kester, although he had been heard to remark, mostly when his wife was absent, that Arden the cat lizard was far less stubborn than his two-legged namesake, and that both of them were less stubborn than any one of Stainer's 4 grandchildren. The archbishop's smile softened at the memory, but then it faded into a pensive frown as thoughts of his own grandchildren reminded him of the enormous threat looming over the entire kingdom of Carus and all of its children. Those grandchildren were hostages to fortune, and whenever he thought about them, he understood exactly why some men dared not raise their hands against the church's corruption.
"But it's also the reason other men can't refuse to raise their hands," he thought. "And neither Arden nor Larenc has ever questioned my decision."
Knuckles rapped discreetly on his door, and Stainer stirred in his chair. Arden's eyes opened fully as his mattress shifted under him, and the archbishop picked him up.
"Time for work, I'm afraid," he said.
The cat lizard yawned, showing off its pink forked tongue, then gave his cheek a quick, affectionate lick.
"Bribery will get you nothing, you furry little fiend," Stainer told him,
then lowered him to the floor. Arden flowed down and padded off towards the basket in one corner, and Stainer cleared his throat.
"Enter,"
he called, and watched thoughtfully as the 2 unlikely visitors were escorted into his office in the archbishop's palace. The 2 men were studies in physical contrast in many ways, and other differences went far deeper. Yet the 2 of them had requested a joint meeting with Stainer, which suggested several interesting possibilities.
"None of which," he reminded himself, "is likely to be accurate, given how little information you have upon which to base any of them."